In his younger days, language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg frequented a watering hole in Italy called the Falcon Club. What attracted him and his English-speaking friends was not only the beer, but the blues.
The Falcon Club was a dingy dive located down a flight of steps near the Piazza Barberini in Rome. I hear they closed it about 10 years ago for gross violations of the fire code. It's no great loss, I suppose. It was only open in the winter months, it had no air conditioning, and by May the heat was suffocating. It was not what you'd call exclusive, either. The only membership requirements were that you put up a $15 fee and that you be a native English speaker. Yet on a typical Thursday night in February, the place was jammed with a wildly improbable assortment of expatriate Anglophone youth. I can recall meeting Irish au pair girls, English journalists, New Zealanders studying art restoration, West Indian medical students, Canadian opera singers, and Americans playing as ringers on Italian pro basketball teams. It was enough to make me stop and wonder what we all had in common, apart from our language. Granted, we could talk to one another, but whatever did we have to talk about? After all, this was not a crowd that cared much about the sorts of things that people like Alistair Cook invoke when they talk about the bonds that unite the English-speaking peoples. We certainly didn't get together to celebrate our magnificent literary heritage, our tradition of jurisprudence, or our shared belief in constitutional democracy. The common denominators of the Falcon Club clientele were a lot lower and a lot more common than that. Yet we did have interests in common, even if they were not the sorts of things you'd build a PBS series around. For one thing, we shared a certain culture of drinking itself. We English speakers like to do our drinking sidled up to the tap, a custom for which Rome provided no adequate settings. Italians are convivial, Lord knows, but they don't go out much just to drink, and when they do, they sit at low sofas in the piano bars and nurse a single $7 glass of brandy for a couple of hours. At the Falcon Club, you could get a beer for a buck. They made up the difference in volume. And then people came for the music. Italian pop music has its charms. It shows what Barry Manilow or Billy Joel might have become if they only had the heart for it. But the Falcon Club had a jukebox that was heavy on the blues and blues-oriented rock that's a specialty of the English-speaking world. In fact, the blues-style singers on the jukebox were from almost as many of the English-speaking nations as the clientele of the club itself. There were black Americans like Ray Charles and white Americans like Elvis and Janis Joplin. There was the Irishman Van Morrison, the South African Manfred Mann, and the Englishman John Mayall and Stevie Winwood. Except for Charles, I suppose that none of them sang what you'd call authentic blues. But all of them had a way of handling a line that showed that they'd spent a lot of time listening to pure blues singers like Muddy Waters or Elmore James, with a rapt attention that only somebody who understood the lyrics could have brought to the task. Music may be an international language, but song is often tied to the rhythms of speech. You can't sing Schubert Lieder in Portuguese, and the sweetness of a Brazilian choro will not survive a translation into German. And for the same reason, you can't imagine the blues being sung in Italian or French. In fact, I'm told that there are some Dutch blues bands around, but they sing in English, and the Dutch are sort of honorary English speakers anyway. It gave the patrons of the Falcon Club one more point of reference, something to talk about once we got tired of trying to explain baseball and cricket to one another. They play jazz and rock everywhere from Oslo to Osaka, but only Anglophones sing the blues.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.